I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. It is one of those moments when you just stop and wonder who we are as a country, what we've become, and where we might be going.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides.
That was President Trump speaking to reporters Saturday after a day of racist violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. Trump faced angry criticism over the weekend and this morning for failing to single out white supremacists and suggesting, as you heard there, that many sides were responsible. Even senior Republicans urged him to correct that impression. So today, Trump returned from New Jersey to the White House, faced the cameras again to read, this time, a carefully prepared statement.
Racism is evil. And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal.
One word, though, that the president still has not used to describe what happened in Charlottesville: terrorism, specifically the incident where a young man rammed a car into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing one person and injuring several more. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions told ABC's Good Morning America he was pretty clear on that point.
It doesn't meet the definition of domestic terrorism in our statute. We are pursuing it when the Department of Justice, in every way that we can make it, make a case. You can be sure we will charge and advance the investigation toward the most serious charges that can be brought, because this is an unequivocally unacceptable and evil attack that cannot be accepted in America.
Will Carlos covers extremist groups in the United States for Reveal. So, Will, as we've just heard today, President Trump did condemn the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups as repugnant, although only after almost 2 days and under intense political pressure. How does this new twist in the president's rhetoric kind of jibe with what he's been saying or not saying up till now?
Well, I mean, the point of my piece that I did this week was the fact that the administration has basically, if not abetted, then at least kind of ignored or played down this problem of white supremacy, of racism that's kind of only growing in America. This statement comes 2 days after the attacks in Charlottesville. Well, 3 days before, the top terror advisor to President Trump, Sebastian Gorka, went on the radio and said there is no terrorism in the United States that is not linked in some way to ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Mm. So, you know, I mean, it's nice to see the president say this, but I think a lot of people out there just saying, hey, this is way too little and way too late.
So you've been writing about the alt-right and neo-Nazi groups in the U.S. and also in Europe. The people who showed up in Charlottesville were from all over the United States, but let's get the broad kind of global picture. How organized is white supremacy worldwide, and what are the lines connecting it to the U.S.?
Well, if you talk to the academics who study this sort of stuff, they will tell you that white supremacy, that racism as a whole is on the decline across the United States and broader across the world. What is not on the decline is this sort of strange new version of sort of quasi-racism, quasi-nationalism, patriotism, anti-feminism, this sort of new wave of conservative ideological thought, which is very active, obviously, not just in the United States, but in places like Russia. We've seen it where I live here in Brazil. We've seen it in Eastern and Western Europe. It comes under a different guise than kind of pure neo-Nazi style racism, but it is still sort of the same ilk.
I mean, a month ago, the KKK was in Charlottesville wanting to uphold the same statue of Robert E. Lee. Now, this is a white supremacist group of marchers. How are these two groups connected? I mean, is it unfair to say they're all part of the same thing?
Look, I mean, any group, whether they want to call themselves the alt-right or the alt-light or just a conservative or a white nationalist or whatever, they knew that Saturday's protests were going to be largely defined by the large contingent of extreme racists and neo-Nazis that everybody knew was going to show up on that day. So the point back to those people is, if you don't want to be associated with these people, why'd you show up on Saturday?
Again, let's look internationally. Would white power groups in Norway know what the Klan is up to in Virginia? Are they networked that tightly?
I think that this network is very tight. I mean, if you look at some of the, you know, the neo-Nazi websites and you go on their message boards, you see, you know, racists from across the globe kind of get together to swap ideas and to talk about stuff. And you have sort of subgroups in there for Europe and other languages and other parts of the world, too. So they're definitely connected.
Racial purity is one of the through lines in the white supremacist narrative. In Russia, for example, we see Russian nationalism. And Richard Spencer, he was leading a crowd in Charlottesville this weekend. Richard Spencer, who kind of is the poster child for the alt-right right now, he's called Russia the sole white power in the world. Explain to us how Russia fits into this narrative.
So this is one of the bizarre sort of twists. I mean, Russia, that at least through my childhood and through my lifetime, has always been the kind of the arch enemy for conservative America. There is this sort of splinter group on the very far right that looked to Russia not only as this sort of racially pure place, whatever that means, but also in terms of the strong patriotism that you see in Russia. And that idea of patriotism is very wrapped up in the kind of modern day sort of racist white supremacist movement, and that's why Russia and Vladimir Putin are so admired by certain elements of the far right.
So if we can kind of label all these groups the alt-right, where next now for the alt-right? I mean, we know Charlottesville was not the only event they're planning.
The alt-right leaders are coming out and claiming victory after this protest. I think there's no doubt that this movement has kind of suffered a big kind of PR backlash as a result of this. And that's a very cold, hard way of looking at this. I mean, a young lady has lost her life, but these guys don't seem to see it that way. They look at this as a monumental victory. If you see Richard Spencer, for example, who you just mentioned, made a video on Saturday kind of claiming victory and saying there's going to be lots more of these. So I think the sad truth is we may not see one as big as this for some time. I think that the police will really be pressured to be really on top of any of these protests, but they're not going away. There's going to be more of these.
Will Carlos covers extremist groups for Reveal. Thanks for being with us, Will.
Thanks, Marco.